Well, who's talking first?
I really should not go first.
I want to go first. I'll go first.
No, not Corvella. You always go first.
Akasha would have wanted Emilia to go first.
Okay. You want me to tell a story? Fine. You know, one of you once said to me, I think it was you, Philomena. Emilia, you're so terse. I looked it up. And it's true, so I'm not thrilled to tell a story, because it's not easy for me. But I like listening to all of you tell stories, and the walks are good, so it's only fair. We begin at the point. You know, at some point, straight out there, two rivers become one river, and it's a different river. This story's from my mama's side of the family, the Greek side, about my great uncle Nikos and my great aunt Lydia. Uncle Nikos is ancient now. He lives in a huge villa with servants and nurses. He's rich as Croesus. He'd say that. He's totally into all things Greek, history and myths. He says the Greek gods are still around, but hidden because of Jesus and Muhammad and communism. Don't ask me. Aunt Lydia isn't quite as ancient, but she's getting up there. But she still flits around, shops, goes to nude beaches and film festivals, still gorgeous. Thinks she'll live forever. Story. Okay. It takes place back in the 80s, just so you know. You know, I just love how the sky just opens up here with those hills just kind of just falling down that hillside. And oh, how the stadium's just kind of cup it, just empty, but still so grand. Sorry, story. Lydia's sunbathing, foredeck of their giant yacht, hot sun, Mediterranean. She's maybe 40 then, wearing this tiny black bikini. I mean, hardly there. So tan, voluptuous, perfect. She's like a goddess herself. "It's hot," she says, "and I couldn't be more bored." She's speaking to her best friend and personal assistant, Lucy. Lucy's sitting at a table under an umbrella, drinking a gin and tonic, big sunglasses. English, so she doesn't do so well with the sun. She and Lydia met at boarding school in Switzerland and got attached to each other. They've been attached ever since. Lucy's secretly writing a novel based on her life with Lydia. "We've been on this yacht for weeks," Lydia says, sitting up. "Where the hell's Nikos?" "He's due back today," says Lucy. Peter, Nikos' head of security, comes out on the second deck above the women. He leans on the rail and smokes a French cigarette. He is a large, beautifully muscled, smooth, and sedate man from somewhere in Africa. He's kind of an enigmatic guy. Nikos trusts him completely. "Why has Peter been here?" Lydia asks. "Shouldn't he be with Nikos?" "Didn't Nikos tell you?" says Lucy. "Nikos doesn't tell me anything," says Lydia. "Well, I admit to eavesdropping," says Lucy. "Before he left, Nikos was telling Peter and the boys. He was alone on the deck, late, staring into the sea. He saw a black whirlpool and women's faces, long, streaming hair, reaching arms. Then he had a vision of masked men, pirates or terrorists, kidnapping you from the yacht." "Who kidnapped me?" says Lydia. "Nikos and his oracles and visions." "Well, you certainly are an object of desire," says Lucy. "Speaking of," says Lydia, "Peter." She takes off her tiny bikini top and tosses it aside. "I'd have him in a second." "Liddy," says Lucy, blushing. "What?" says Lydia. "Nikos and I have sex once a month, if that. Obviously, I'm not an object of desire to everybody." "Well," says Lucy. A little while later, the helicopter lands on the helipad. Here comes Nikos, all hairy and aggressive. He makes you think of a wild boar charging around, snuffling and rooting. He's followed by the boys, two pretty young men carrying briefcases. He gives Lydia a peck on the cheek and a hard pat on the butt. He tells her, "I'll see you at dinner. I got business." He goes into his yacht office with the boys and shuts the door. Lydia tries the door, but it's locked. She knocks on the door. "Nikos, let me in," she says. "We haven't seen each other in weeks."
"Not now, Lydia," bellows Nikos from inside. "I'm in here with the boys. We've We've got business to finish. I'll see you at dinner.
Lydia bangs on the door again and stomps away. Then, an idea flashes into her head. She goes to the lower lounge where Lucy is having a cup of tea and writing in a notebook. What's happened, Liddy? Lucy asks. She can just tell. He's in the office with the boys, says Lydia. He's locked me out. They're finishing business. Crikey, says Lucy. I want you to take the following message to Peter, says Lydia. Tell him he can come to my cabin tonight. Tell him I've wanted him for months now. My husband doesn't want me like that anymore. Tell Peter I want him. I need him. I'm pining away. Isn't that laying it on a little thick? Says Lucy. No, it isn't, says Lydia. I think I might mean it. Lucy raises her eyebrows and goes. She finds Peter in his cabin, cleaning his gun. She relays Lydia's message. Peter's shocked because he's the consummate professional. He's certainly aware that Lydia is an object of desire. He has a smoke on the second deck and sees her sunbathing every day. But he's never thought of her like that. Maybe he starts to think of her like that. But he says, tell the mistress, please, that I respect her greatly and that her safety and well-being are paramount to me, but that I could never betray the mister's trust in any way, let alone that way. He ducks his head and polishes the barrel. Lucy returns to Lydia and relays Peter's reply. says Lydia. Later that evening, Nikos is in the hot tub. The sky is overflowing with stars. He picks out certain constellations, the Greek ones. He lowers his head and sees Lydia there. She drops her robe and eases into the hot tub opposite him. I'm just relaxing, Liddy, he says. I had a long day. You sure had, she says. What if I tell you I want a divorce? You can't have a divorce, he says. You're my wife. You're mine. Lydia stands up and spreads her arms. Look at me, Nikki, she says. I'm a magnificent woman, kind of in my prime. Sure you are, he says. That's why you're my wife. You make love to me at most once a month, she says. You leave me alone on this yacht for weeks on end. Don't exaggerate, says Nikos. You got a great life. I give you everything you could want. Don't be an ungrateful bitch. Lydia wades over and sits down beside him. I don't really want a divorce, Nikki, she says. I didn't think so, he says. That'd be stupid. You can't have one anyway. Lydia puts a hand on him under the water. I told you I had a long day, Liddy, he says. What if I take a lover, Lydia says. I'll kill you, he says. Then laughs. I won't kill you. I'll put you somewhere. I'll punish you. I'm rich as Croesus and I'm king of Lydia. And he laughs again. Lydia gives him a peck on the cheek and a squeeze under the water, then gets out of the tub. She goes to Lucy's small cabin. Lucy is typing something on an old portable typewriter. I want you to take another message to Peter, says Lydia. Tell him I want him all over me, all around me, and deep inside me. I'm so hot for him. If I can't have him, I'll lose my mind. Lucy raises her eyebrows. She goes. She finds Peter in his usual spot on the second deck. He's leaning on the railing, smoking a French cigarette. Lucy relays Lydia's message. Peter says, please tell the mistress I'll think about it. I'll get back to her. Lucy relays the reply to Lydia. Says Lydia. The next day, the yacht is scheduled to dock in the evening at Nikos' villa on the coast. Meanwhile, Peter watches Lydia sunbathe. Lydia sunbathes and watches Peter watch her sunbathe, and Lucy watches them both and scribbles in her notebook. Nikos and the boys are in the office. Oh, I really feel drawn to the river. I love walking beside it. The water's not pristine by a long shot, but it's life-giving and refreshing just to look at it. Story. Just before the yacht docks, Lydia sends Lucy to Peter for an update. "Why doesn't she come to me herself?" Peter asks. "Believe it or not," says Lucy, "she's quite shy." "So?" "I've thought it over," Peter says. It had occurred to him that Nikos was well known for testing the loyalty of his retainers, so he might be using Lydia as a test. So Peter thought he'd put Lydia to a test of his own. Did she really want him so much? How far would she go to have him? "If she'll do three things for me, I'll have her, and I promise she'll have me," he says to Lucy. "First, Nikos has organized a hunt tomorrow with some of his local pals. He'll show off his prize sparrowhawk. Lydia must kill the sparrowhawk in front of him and his pals. Second, Lydia must bring me hairs from his beard in a sealed envelope from his personal stationery. Third, Nikos has a bad tooth in his back left jaw. It pains him, but he won't do anything about it. He thinks dentists are unnatural. Lydia must take out the tooth and bring it to me. If she does these things, it'll prove she really wants me, and I'll really want her." "Crikey," says Lucy. As she returns to Lydia, she relays Peter's response. "That's crazy! That's impossible," says Lydia. "Who does he think he is?" Then she stops herself. "Tell him I accept," she says to Lucy. "And I add one thing, that I'll make love with him in front of my husband." "Crikey," says Lucy, and makes a quick note. She relays Lydia's response to Peter. Peter realizes he feels a slight stirring in his loins. The next morning, Nikos and his local pals and the boys and Peter gather on the terrazza of the villa. The sparrowhawk is on display on its perch. Lydia storms onto the terrazza. She has a small, shiny silver pistol in her hand. Without hesitation, she shoots the sparrowhawk so it falls from its perch dead. She shouts, "I love you, Nikki! I'm desperate and jealous. I won't be second to any bird." Then she storms away. There's a moment of silence. Nikos wants to be angry, but he's confused. Peter nods his head. The next afternoon, Nikos is lying in his huge bathtub when Lydia enters the master bathroom. She drops her robe and gets into the tub with him. "Lydia," growls Nikos. "I came to apologize for killing your bird," says Lydia. "I want to make it up to you. Here, I'll sit behind you. Put your head on my breast. I brought these little scissors. I'll trim the hair in your ears and your nose hair, and your beard's getting a little scraggly, too. Then I'll wash your back." She trims his hair, setting a good clump of beard hair on the edge of the tub. Then she gently washes his back.
"I'm not going to fuck you now," mutters Nikos stubbornly.
"Oh, of course you're not," says Lydia. "I don't deserve that." She gets out of the tub, scoops up the beard hair, and goes. In her room, she puts the beard hair in an envelope that Lucy has lifted from Nikos' study, then sends Lucy to deliver the envelope to Peter. The next morning, Nikos and the boys are with Peter in the gym. Peter has laid out mats and is conducting a self-defense class. A few minutes into the class, Lydia comes into the gym. "May I join you?" she asks. "I should probably learn, too. These are bad times. There are pirates and terrorists."
"It's all right with me," says Peter. "Mr. Nikos." "She's probably right," grumbles Nikos, "though she's pretty good with that little pistol."
Lydia and Nikos are each partnered with one of the boys. They're practicing some basic judo throws. At one point, Lydia seems to get too excited. She aims a flying kick at her boy. It misses him and connects with Nikos' back left jaw. Nikos howls with pain and falls to all fours. He spits out blood and the bad tooth. "Oh my God, Nikki," Lydia cries. "Oh my God, I'm a disaster. Boys," she snaps. "Bring Nikos water and a towel. I'll go get some aspirin." She picks up the bloody rotten tooth from the mat and hands it to Peter on her way out. The next morning, Lydia is walking in the garden trying to think of a solution to the problem she's rashly set herself. At the bottom of the garden, she comes upon a lovely pear tree. She sits down under the tree. She looks up at the sun through the leaves and branches. The wind from the sea stirs the leaves. She leans back against the trunk. An idea flashes into her head. She goes back to the villa, tells Lucy her idea, and asks her to relay it to Peter, which Lucy duly does. The next morning, Nikos and Peter are reviewing security plans in Nikos' study. Nikos is in a good mood. The swelling in his jaw has gone down and he feels no pain from the tooth. Suddenly, Lydia comes in. She leans on the table by the door with one hand and clutches her abdomen with the other.
"Oh, help me, gentlemen, please," she says in a small voice. "I have terrible cramps. I feel like they're splitting me in two. You must help me down to the pear tree at the bottom of the garden."
The two men take her each by an arm and help her outside.
"Why are we going to the pear tree in the garden?" asks Peter.
"The maids tell me the spirit in the tree, the hamadryad, will aid in all female troubles," gasps Lydia. "Aye!"
"That's good," says Nikos.
They hurry down the garden to the tree. Lydia clutches at herself and moans. At the tree, she falls to her knees and puts a hand on the trunk.
"Oh, spirit of the pear tree," she prays. "Oh, dear Hamadryad, help me with this pain. Aye, it's splitting me. Help me, Hamadryad. I promise I'll devote myself to you from now on."
Then she turns and sits with her back against the tree and closes her eyes.
"Sit with me, Nikos, Peter, please, just for a few minutes. I think I'm starting to feel something."
She takes her husband's hand.
"Yes, oh, Nikos," she says, "at last I know what you mean."
"I've been telling you and telling you," says Nikos.
"The pain is easing," says Lydia. "Peter, I see one ripe pear high up in the tree. Will you climb up and get it? We'll all eat of it as a sort of sacrament to the Hamadryad."
"Sure, mistress," says Peter.
He quickly climbs the tree, but when he gets near the top, he begins to shout down at Nikos.
"Oh, mister, please! Mister, you embarrass me! Mister, please stop that!"
"What are you yelling about?" Nikos yells back.
"You know I'm your loyal retainer, mister, but this crosses a line," shouts Peter. "You're making love to your wife right beneath me. Your bare buttocks are in full view."
"They are not," yells Nikos.
"Get down here, you idiot. We haven't moved since you went up there. Get down here and see for yourself."
Peter climbs quickly down. He looks wonderstruck at them.
"See," says Nikos, "I can't get my pants up and down that fast."
"I swear," says Peter, "that was disturbing."
"It's the tree," says Lydia. "There's some enchantment. The Hamadryad is sending us a message. I'm feeling much better, but Nikos, you climb up and see what you see. Can you climb?"
"I can climb," says Nikos.
He gets up and starts climbing. Not as quickly as Peter did. "Well, come on," says Lydia in a soft voice to Peter. "Pull those pants down." She lies back, smiling up at him. Peter smiles down at her, pulls his pants down, and lies down on her. There is some pent-up feeling between them that instantly breaks loose. They begin to make love. Nikos gets to the top of the tree, looks down, and sees them.
"Hey, get off my wife!" he shouts. "She's my wife! I see your bare ass! I trusted you completely! Get off her!"
He continues to shout as he scrambles down. "He's coming down," Lydia whispers into Peter's ear. "We'll resume later." They scramble as well, fix their clothing, return to as they were. Nikos comes to ground and stares at them, looking a little wild.
"I saw you," he says.
"It must be an enchantment," says Lydia. "An answer to my prayer. It's like an oracle, Nikki. What is the Hamadryad saying to us? What does she want from us? I feel great now. Let's go up and have lunch."
So the three of them go back up to the villa and have lunch. Lydia and Peter do resume as soon as they can and as often as they can after that. They give each other a lot of pleasure. Maybe that was the Hamadryad's message. Anyway, the end. Yeah, I survived. I hope you're happy.
Static.
Okay.
Okay, how about we walk up to Cat's Plaza?
Yeah, yeah,
sure.
And who's gonna be next?
Not Dineo.
Oh, how about you, Dineo?